Welcome to the teaching ministry of First United Methodist Church and Pastor Steve Kedon. We offer these messages in the hope that the Word of God will comfort the hurting, confront the comfortable, and create new life in us all. Let us now join together and offer our lives to God in worship.
For the last couple of weeks, your life, and certainly in the life of the church, has been just a buzz or a flurry of activity. During the preparation of Christmas, we all try and put our best foot forward. We try and decorate our homes, and there's this upwelling of just desire to celebrate something, to know that life has that moment of joyful exuberance. There's a cartoon that I remember from several years ago from the Peanuts. If you ever watch or if you ever read the Peanuts cartoon, there's this time where you remember Lucy is kind of the psychiatrist. She's, you know, kind of crabby, but she's always a psychiatrist. And Linus is kind of the philosopher. And so they're talking one day, and Lucy says to Linus, says, look, you know, because Linus is always carrying around this blanket. She says, look, what is it that you want to be when you grow up? Because she's trying to trap him into understanding whatever you want to be, they're not going to allow you to have a blanket. But Linus is sort of a philosopher. And so she says, Linus, what is it that you want to be when you grow up? And he looks back at her and he says, when I grow up, I want to be outrageously happy. And I wonder, when we think about Christmas, and you think about everything that you go through, all of the busy activity, if there isn't something about all of us that's just dying to be outrageously happy. And so we decorate and we put on our best foot forward, we celebrate, because we're trying to express almost something that's intangible. But then it kind of comes to Christmas, and Christmas is a celebration. You've probably already gone through all of your gifts. You've gone through visitation. You've gone through the parties. You've gone through the feasting. And then you celebrate New Year's, and you all get together, and you have maybe a New Year's celebration where you ring in the new year. And part of that is saying, you know, thank you, God, that we made it through 1 year, but also a celebration that we're getting ready for a new year. And we're looking forward. Everything is culminating right around this time. And that brings us to this day, Epiphany Sunday. And I want to argue with you a little bit today that today, this day, is more important than all those other days combined. All of them. Why? Well, I think there's a couple of reasons. One, during Christmas, during the season of Advent, you are preparing for Christmas. You're preparing for Christmas. You're preparing for the birth of Jesus. And on Christmas Eve, we've all gathered and we raise our candles and say, Jesus has been born among us. Isn't that good news? And we celebrate what God has done among us. And the church is filled and there's candles and it's a beautiful experience. But then the new year comes, and we have to ask the question, so what did it all mean? Was it just a big party that we threw for ourselves? Or how did it shape our future? Because this is what God has done for you. The question now is, what are you going to do with it? It's kind of like going Christmas morning, waking up, and there's presents. Look at all that God has given to us, but refusing to open any of them. God did it all, but he wants you to have it and to be a part of it. I've often thought of it, Christmas is a lot like being, if you've ever gone to a big party, like a wedding reception, a lot of times what will happen if there's a very big wedding reception, they will have a time where they're serving hors d'oeuvres, right? The bride and groom are getting ready. They're having pictures made, but they're serving hors d'oeuvres. Have you ever been to one of those banquets? Somebody's always walking around with a plate, and you take some hors d'oeuvres and stuff like that. And they're often wonderful hors d'oeuvres, but those hors d'oeuvres are intended to kind of get your palate ready for the big banquet that is about to happen. Right? In a couple of moments, the wedding guests are going to be ready. The doors will be open, and they'll say, come in, sit down. The banquet is ready. So often I think that we come to Christmas and we're partaking of the little bits and pieces, the little glimmer of what God has in store for us, the banquet that is being prepared for us, and said, that's plenty, that's all that I want, I'm going home now. And next time we get together for hors d'oeuvres, call me. But we never really get to sit down and experience the depth of what God has in store for us. That's what Epiphany really is. Epiphany is that moment of clarity. It's that moment of understanding. It is understanding or having circumstances revealed what they truly are. It is that aha moment for all of us. The wise men had traveled so far, and they had come to that moment of clarity. Can you go to the next slide? It's that aha moment. But here's what I want to ask you. In your own journey of faith, in your own experience, when was the last time you had that true aha moment? Think about that. That aha moment where you kind of go, now I get it. I didn't understand it before, but now it's all clear to me. It makes sense. We've traveled all this distance, and now it makes sense. I see what's happening. It's that aha moment. See, the challenge of today, the challenge of Epiphany, the first Sunday in the new year, is to ask yourself, am I going back to the routines and the rituals and the rules that governed last year? Or am I waiting for a renewal, for an aha, a journey that's taking me somewhere, that's revealing something new? Is there a sense of expectation, a sense of optimism? God is going to do something in 2013 that has never been done before. Sometimes it's a new child. Sometimes it's new events, new circumstances, but there will be things that will happen this year that have never been done before. Do you have that sense of excitement and exhilaration? I think we should, because otherwise we're missing the value of that Epiphany and this Christmas experience. I want to share with you, if you would, this video, if you will. Go to the video and share with you this sense of the beginning of what God is doing. Okay, let's move on. Let's bypass that. Josh, just bypass it. There we go. Okay. Let's just go to the Word. As we encounter God's Word, the Epiphany story found in Matthew chapter 2, we are going to find the story of the three wise men. The challenge for us, though, is that sometimes we look at the wise men and we think that this is their story. It's a historical story. It happened. But the question is how does it affect us? What does it mean for us in your place? What journey are you taking? And what do we learn from them as mentors? What example did they leave behind? Would you join with me as we center our lives? Would you join with me by sharing what's not on the screen, but which I hope that you know by heart? This is God's word for my life in this place and at this time. Today, I am a new creation in Christ. I am God's very own, and I believe he has a purpose for my life. Reading from Matthew chapter 2, the story of the wise men. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They opened their treasures and they presented him with gifts of gold, and then of frankincense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for your word, for it transforms our present, it guides our steps, and it creates our future. Bless us now as we hear the word, and may it be seeds in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Epiphany is a time of revelation, a time of discovery, of asking that central question, what did it all mean? What have you found? How are you different as a result of the Christmas experience? For the last several weeks, we've been taking this journey of discovering what Christmas is about by revealing the people that participated in it, the struggles that they had, and how it shaped their lives. Not so that we can just understand a little bit more history, but so that it can shape and it can guide our lives. And the question is, are we ready this morning for that aha moment? Are we availing ourselves of the epiphany that God has in store for us year after year? But what we find from the story is recounted in Matthew chapter 2 is those barriers that sometimes separate us from receiving what God has in store. And I want you to think about these barriers in terms of your own faith journey. What do those barriers look like? Well, the wise men were people that looked to the stars. And one of the things that they noticed is they said, when we looked at the stars, which of course everybody in Israel was looking at the same sky, when we saw them, we saw something special. We saw something that was revealed when the stars rose. One of the barriers that we have is our commonality. The idea that we have seen it over and over and we say there is nothing new under the sun. Familiarity breeds contempt. And so for the people of Israel, they were looking at the same night sky, and when they looked at the stars, all they saw was a bunch of twinkling lights. But for those that were ready, for those that were sensitive, they said, God is speaking, and we're listening. That sense of commonality. We also can be sidetracked by temptations to do what we want to do, right? During the Christmas and the Advent season, the church swells in numbers and people are overjoyed and they're generous, but eventually there will be those little things that will take away your time and your attention. And usually that journey with God through the new life will begin to fade over time because of temptations, because of busyness. When the wise men came to Jerusalem, it said everybody was disturbed by these new visitors. What is happening? There are things that are going on, but they knew that Jesus was to be born in Bethlehem, but not one of them made that small journey with the wise men. They said, you go, and if you find anything, then you come back and let us know, and if we can schedule it, we'll get down there as well. Sometimes we get so busy. And sometimes, because in our generation, we are so short-term thinkers, we just don't have the time. We're just not willing to invest ourselves. If God can't tell us in a 30-second soundbite, we really don't have the time. And unfortunately, in our time, in our generation, that ability to focus and remain in tune with what God is doing is getting smaller and smaller all the time. But God has an epiphany that is waiting for you as an individual, not just as a church, but for you in your own life journey. And so this morning we want to talk about how can we prepare you for your own aha moment, your own epiphany. This is a story about my epiphany journey, about discovering what God is doing in your life. And one of the things that I want you to know about this story is that everything that is happening in your life right now, good, bad, and somewhere in between, God is using to draw you into himself. every experience that you are undergoing, everything that you are struggling with, all of those doubts and fears and those anxieties, our God is using to draw you into himself, to say, let me be clear about what's true and right in life. That is an epiphany journey, a discovery of what God is able to do in your life. The question that we need to ask continually through the rest of the year is, are we able to put the pieces of the puzzle together? Or do we see them as just isolated events? God is using all of that to shape your character. As we look at the story of the Epiphany, of the travels of the Magi, there's a couple of things that will help us along our journey to discover our own epiphany with Christ. The first thing that we have to understand is that every epiphany has a purpose. It has a purpose. When the Magi set out from a place, presumably somewhere in Iran, and they began this long, arduous journey, God had a purpose for their journey. It wasn't just a random. So often I hear people say, life is just a journey. Yes, but it has a journey to a destination. Life is not just a random series of events that are strung together that look like a life. God is shaping us to make our way to a journey. In Romans chapter 1, Paul says the following. He says, For in the gospel there is a righteousness from God that is revealed. The gospel is revealing something about us and about the world that we live in. It has a purpose to draw us into the presence of God, to reveal who God is. And I imagine that when the Magi finally came to Bethlehem, and they said, we have seen stars that are saying a king has been revealed, they never anticipated what they eventually found. God has a purpose in your personal epiphany. God also realizes that every epiphany is going to have a plan. There's a way to achieve it. There's a way to have it revealed. For the wise men, it was revealed in the stars. They had the training, they had the knowledge, they had the ability to make that journey. They interpreted the stars. In your own faith journey with God, as he continues to shape you, constantly God is saying, I have a plan for you. Plan not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. That's my plan. The question that we need to ask is, are we reading the map? I often love to use the analogy that God is often like somebody on your GPS. If you've ever had a GPS and you're traveling down the highway and you make a wrong turn, what does the GPS say? Recalculating. I have a plan. I got to follow the plan. Let me recalculate. God has a plan. We have to understand that our journey has a plan. It isn't just a random walk that, you know, if you live to be 70 or 80 or 90, you'll die and go to heaven. It doesn't work that way. It has a plan. And what I want to make sure is, when you get to be 70 or 80 or 90 and you stand before God, you know where you're supposed to be. That you know the plan God had for your life. That's the invitation of Epiphany. It has a purpose. It has a plan. But it requires perseverance. See, I often wondered about the journey of the Magi. The tradition has that there were three of them because there were three gifts, but the scriptures never tell us that. I often wonder whether when they left from Iran, maybe they set out with 20 of them. 20 Magi started out. But after about halfway, they start getting camel sores. And they said, my feet hurt. I got corns. I hate this Israeli food. I'm going back. It's too much of a hassle. I didn't think it was going to take this long. Why can't it be shorter? How about if I give you my gifts and then you just take a picture of him opening up my gifts, right? Because the scriptures over and over say something about God's relationship with you that's really important. God says, I want you to seek me. I want you to want me. It isn't that God just says, hey, here I am. He said, good, I know where you are. You're over there on the corner of 5th and Williams. That's where God is. And if I ever need him, I'll go get him. He says, no, I want you to want me. And don't we all want that? We want to be wanted. We want to be needed. We want to be loved. And God says, I want to be loved, but I want you to need me. I want you to come after me. I want you to seek me with all of your heart. And when you do that, I'm going to be found by it. I'll reveal myself to you. But if you're just trying to do it on the cheap and just trying to do the nice, easy way, what's convenient? I couldn't quite fit it into my schedule today. He said, then you'll never find me. That epiphany will always elude you. You'll travel and travel and never really find me. One of the struggles that we always face is people begin that journey in January with Christmas and New Year's, but somewhere around, I don't know, July or August, our feet get tired and our bottoms get sore. And we just say, I just don't have time for that anymore. And the epiphany will elude you. If you want that personal epiphany, that revelation of Christ in his purity and his love and his acceptance of you, you have to persevere. You have to take the journey because God says, pursue me. Pursue me. I want to be wanted. So how do we do that? How does God reveal himself to you right now? Not just saying, well, we all should have an epiphany. How is it available to you right now? My epiphany is waiting for me, and yours is too. It's waiting for you. Just like it was in the stars, it's waiting for you right now. How? Well, the first way that God is saying, here's who I am, what is the purpose and the plan? It's in the scriptures. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees, and he says, you don't know the scriptures or the power of God. He connects the two. You can't know one without the other. The power of God and his mission and his purpose is revealed in his word. It's in the stars. All you have to do is look up. All you have to do is open up the pages. It's right there. Scriptures are right there. The revelation of who God is found in his word. If you're not part of discovering, mining, digging deeper into the wonderful riches of what God has done through the Magi and in your life, you're giving up on that epiphany. You're giving up on that revelation, that Bethlehem moment. He also tells us that we find it in worship. In the passage of Luke 24, when Jesus is traveling with those friends out of Jerusalem to a place called Emmaus, it was in the breaking of the bread that their eyes were opened, and it was revealed to them. They had an epiphany. They went, aha! He was with us all the time, and we never knew it. He was sharing the word, and we just didn't know it because we weren't in the experience of worship. This morning, as we share in communion, it is an epiphany moment for those that are willing to accept it, to accept the joy. Now, I want to connect those two. I want to connect both epiphany and perseverance with worship. Coming to worship once a month, experiencing it on a semi-quarterly basis isn't going to get it done. He wants to be pursued in worship. And finally, it's in a sense of giving. God gives to us through the power of his word. We receive the joy of his presence through worship, and then we respond by giving of our tithes and our offerings, of our service, of our engagement with others, of sharing the good news. He said, if you give, it will be given to you. It will be released. And you will have a new understanding of who God is. And at that time, when you give, it will be given to you, and you'll be going, aha, I get it now. I understand what life is about. It's about something more than just my personal fulfillment. So today, I want to challenge you. When you go to the restaurant, you go home, ask yourself in the quiet, in the back of your mind, let it germinate, are you ready for an epiphany? Are you ready to experience God? Are you ready for the purpose and the plan? Are you ready to take the journey? Are you willing to persevere? Or should we just kind of go back and say, you know, in another 12 months, we've got to start buying Christmas gifts again? and things will go on as they always have. I believe God has something better in store for us. And as we gather, we get to say, ah, now I get it. Let us pray. Father God, we gather this morning because you've drawn us here to experience you in community and in fellowship, to have your word touch our lives and change our destiny now and always. Amen. As we come together for our time of communion, communion is open, the communion table is open to all. We invite you to come and be a part of what God is doing among us. But we need to share our journey together. Would you join with me as we share in our prayer of confession? Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When the supper was over, he took the cup and he gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and he said, drink from this all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory, and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. The body of Christ broken for you. As we share in one loaf, does it not make us one with Christ and one in ministry to all the world? This is the blood of Christ, which was poured out for you, that you may now know and always that Christ is alive in your life. Let us pray. Father God, as we come here, we We come because we have been called. Continue to work within our lives by the power of the bread and the cup, to continue to offer grace and thanksgiving in all aspects of our lives, now and forever. Amen.